Kyle, thank you so much. Let me extend my congratulations to these graduates today, as well as a greeting to family and friends that are here. This is a great milestone and a great accomplishment in your life, and I believe you will look back on it as a very significant time as to what God has accomplished and what God has prepared you to do in the days ahead. And what I would like to do this morning is bring a word of challenge to you, but also a word of encouragement and comfort to all of us from what some have said is perhaps the most well-known passage in all the Bible, the 23rd Psalm. And I want to talk to you for just a few moments on the subject, portrait of our Shepherd King. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell, or it could be translated, I will return to the house of the Lord forever. The Bible is filled with metaphors and pictures and images of our great and awesome God. They are there to teach us about his character, who he is, as well as his acts, what he does. For example, you will discover that the Bible compares God to a lion and an eagle, a lamb, the sun, a light, a fire, a fountain, a rock, a hiding place, a tower, and a shield. And yet there are more humanly images that you find in Scripture as well that help us understand something of this incomprehensible God. For example, he is called the Creator, a bridegroom, a husband, a judge, a king. He is called a man of war, a builder and a maker, a physician, and of course he is also called a father. And yet one of the most tender images that you find in the Bible when it comes to helping us understand God's care and concern for us, the fact that God has committed himself to his children to guide them and to protect them, is the image of a shepherd, or better in my judgment, a shepherd king. It's interesting to note that three times in the Bible, the Lord Jesus is called a shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 11, he is the good shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, he is the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, he is called the chief shepherd. I believe each of those images finds its origin in Psalm 23. And I am convinced that Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 come together as a magnificent trio, giving us different portraits and different perspectives on our great shepherd king, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the suffering king in Psalm 22. He is the sovereign king in Psalm 24. But he is our shepherd king in Psalm 23. And as we walk through this psalm today, I want you to understand something. Most of you, when you think of Psalm 23, will immediately think of a funeral, because Psalm 23 is often read at a funeral service, and appropriately so, because it is a psalm of comfort. It is a psalm of concern. It is a psalm that helps us remember that God is with us even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet to identify Psalm 23 in that way is to miss it. Because you see, Psalm 23 is really not about death. Psalm 23 is about life. It is not about dying. It is about living under the watch care day in and day out for the totality of your life under a shepherd king. And so I want to share with you this morning several things that I hope will be an encouragement to you, a comfort to you, and a challenge as you indeed serve under the watch care of your great shepherd king. The first thing I would note in Psalm 23 verses 1 through 3 is this: our shepherd king provides for us what we need. The text says, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A sheep has only one shepherd. And the Bible reminds us in John 10 that our shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And indeed, in John 10, we are told that this good shepherd gives to them eternal life and they shall never perish. So if he is going to give us eternal life in the future, what will he do for you and me today, tomorrow, in life, right now? Well, the psalmist tells us, first of all, that he will give us the nourishment that we need. The Lord is my shepherd. 17 personal pronouns in Psalm 23. No wonder it's so tender to all of us. The Lord is my shepherd. The New King James says, I shall not want. The NIV says, I shall not be in want. The New Living Translation says, I have everything I need. Eugene Peterson says, I don't need a thing. In other words, in this life, you and I may not always have what we want, but God has promised to you and to me that we will always have everything that we need. When Charlotte and I had graduated from seminary, about a year later, we found ourselves without a position in ministry through some circumstances beyond our control. That happens sometimes in ministry, doesn't it? And so we had been invited out to East Texas to interview with a church. And so we took Timothy, who at that time was a baby, the youngest of our four, with us. And we drove out for about 3.5, close to 4 hours, anticipating that we would interview with this church, that they were going to put us up for the night, have dinner with us. The next day we would go and attend the service, and then we would come back home on Sunday afternoon. Well, we went out there and we interviewed. And about 5 o'clock, they walked us out to the parking lot. They shook our hands and they said, we're glad you came. They got in their car and they drove away. It was Lord help. And we were standing there with a baby wondering, well, what do we do now? Well, the baby was hungry. We were hungry. So we went to a restaurant and we ate. We then checked to see about staying in a hotel in that area, but it was already booked. And so we began driving back toward Dallas, Texas, stopped along the way and spent the night in a hotel with our little son there with us. And then the next day we got in the car and we made our way on to Dallas and stopped around lunchtime. And we had enough money to buy a 1-piece box of chicken from the Dairy Queen. That is all that we had. And I will be honest with you, I felt sorry for me. And I even had a little compassion for Charlotte and Timothy as well. But I was beginning to wonder, Lord, what is this all about? And yet, in that particular moment, maybe I didn't have everything that I wanted or everything I thought I deserved, but we did have everything that we needed. And now, at the 30-year mark of my ministry that God has given me, I can share with you all today is just a simple witness and testimony. The Lord has provided everything we have ever, ever needed. And when we stay close to Him, when we walk under His watch care, when we let the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd lay out the path that He has for our life, we indeed will find everything we need, including the nourishment. It says there in verse 2, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He even leads me by the still waters. In other words, just using very simple shepherd imagery, He will give me what I need when it comes to food, and He will give me what I need when it comes to drink. Of course, why should that surprise us? The Bible tells us in John, He is the bread of life. He is always going to satisfy my hunger. And the Bible says again in the Gospel of John, He is the living water. I will always have the food and the drink I need from my good shepherd. Yes, He gives us nourishment, but He also gives us rest. For the Bible says He leads me by the still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. But then in verse 3, He restores my soul. Here the word soul has really the idea of life, and it could be translated, He restores or He revives my life. In other words, when I stumble, He gets me back on my feet. When I get off track, He comes looking for me and He gets me back, as we will see in just a moment, He gets me back in the paths of righteousness. And the Bible says here, He revives us, He restores us. When we're weak, He gives us strength. And of course, he has already said in Psalm 19 and verse 7, the instruction of the Lord is perfect. It restores, it revives the soul. You know, life is much different for those who do not have Jesus as their good shepherd. And in fact, life is different for the Christian when he or she forgets that Jesus is their good shepherd. I came across a brief article by Marcia Hornock entitled Psalm 23, The Antithesis. See if you perhaps can identify with this a little bit, given your last several years here at Southeastern. The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted, and it leads me to deep, deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done. For my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines and my in-basket overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. Now, that is one option in life. But there's another option, lived under the watch care and the guidance of the Good Shepherd. That's why the next verse tells us he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Think about that. He leads you. He doesn't drive you. He doesn't coerce you. He doesn't manipulate you. He leads you where? Into the paths of righteousness. In other words, God's leading is always right. God's leading is always correct. As Romans chapter 12 teaches us, God's leading into his will is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. He leads us to do the right thing. He leads us to think the right way. He leads us to say the right thing. He leads us to live the right way. That's why the Bible can say in Psalm 119 and 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. Let me give you a word of counsel as you move from here. Doing the right thing in the right way is a sure mark of spiritual maturity. It is not enough, young men and women, just to do the right thing. It is also imperative that you do it in the right way. I believe that's what he has in mind when he speaks of paths of righteousness. But the last part of verse 3, I think, is the most important of all. For there he tells me he does all of this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores or revives my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And he does all of this, why? For his name's sake. In other words, God says to you and to me, I am putting my reputation on the line as I lead you and as I guide you and as I direct you. And God is saying, I want the world to know what kind of God I am by the way I care for my sheep, for my children. Yes, the Bible says our Shepherd King provides for us what we need. But now, secondly, our Shepherd King also protects us where we are. Listen to what verse 4 says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The Bible tells us here that he is with us when we face death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, the phrase there doesn't necessarily speak to your actual physical death. It can also be a reference to those deep, dark valley death-like experiences. In other words, there's sometimes in life and ministry when you're walking through absolute, complete, and total darkness. Life doesn't make sense. You can't see where you're going. You're not certain that you're on the right path. And yet the psalmist would remind you that if you're living in close communion with your good shepherd, now stay with me, you are exactly where you are supposed to be. Did you hear what I read? You are with me. Who puts you sometimes in the valley of the shadow of death? The good shepherd. The good shepherd. He is the one that led you to the green pastures and the still waters, but he is also the one who leads you into the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Why? Why would God put you and me in those kind of situations? I'll tell you why. Because he's taking you on to a better place. You see, it is his purpose. It is his will. Do you realize that the path of righteousness includes the valley of the shadow of death? And I want to tell you something. You are going to have experiences like that. And the fact is, every one of us in this room one day will be standing at death's door. Who do you want with you when you're there? Who do you want beside you when you're there? The good shepherd who will not leave you or forsake you. Yes, he is with us when we face death or death-like experiences. That's going to be the lot for a number of you in ministry. But he also is with us when we face the enemy. It says there in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now, can you believe that? We are now not out in the fields, but we're in a banquet house. And our good shepherd now is actually serving you and serving me. That doesn't make sense to me. It seems like we should be serving him. But no, he is serving you, serving me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. I believe that is there both as a testimony to the enemy that the favor of God is upon my life. And it is also a testimony to you and to me that though we may face opposition in life, though there may be those who oppose us in life, he will not only be with us, he will bless us. He says, my head you anoint with oil, a sign of celebration and affirmation and gladness. And my cup runs over. God's cup, listen to me, God's cup is never empty. God's cup is not even half full. God's cup is always full and running over. If you will keep your eyes on that, your enemies will not concern you at all. And so the Bible says our Shepherd King provides for us what we need. He protects us where we are. But then finally, he also promises us what we will have. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will be, or I will dwell, or it could be translated, I will return to the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That's not strong enough. The phrase shall follow means to pursue. It means to chase after with great intensity. One friend of mine said that God is a heavenly highway patrolman chasing us. Now, I struggle with that. I have had a number of experiences over the years being chased by highway patrolmen. In fact, confession's good for the soul. I'm in double digits when it comes to my contribution to the various road systems throughout America. I'm an equal opportunity giver when it comes to that. And when I see that light in the rearview mirror, I don't ever feel warm and fuzzy and excited. And I certainly don't associate any of them with heaven. Maybe another. No, I would not say that. But you know, the fact of the matter is, that's a good way of describing our God. He is after you. He is chasing you. Now, you would think that the text would have said our enemies are chasing us. Oh, no. God's dealt with our enemies. What God is chasing you down with is what? His goodness and his hesed, his mercy. You studied Hebrew. You know that that is a beautiful, rich covenant term that speaks of his loyalty, of his loving kindness, of his faithfulness. And I want to tell you something, young men and women. You can't outrun God. You may think you're quick. You may think you're swift. But I got news for you. You can't outrun him. and you cannot outlast him. His goodness and his mercy will again and again and again track you down. But then there's going to come a day when he has finished with you. Now, let me put things in perspective as I move to close this. Some of you may have something of a nomadic experience in this life. It may be that God moves you from place to place. It may be that God places you in a location where you are far removed from your family and from your friends. Oh, I know your parents and your friends would love to see you come back and minister close to them. And if that is God's will, that is fine. But if you're really staying close to the Good Shepherd, it may be that he will send you to a place far, far away from mom and dad, from brothers and sisters, from best friends. It may be that God even places you in a place of relative obscurity. No one really knows you're there but the Good Shepherd. But remember, he will provide your nourishment. He will provide your guidance. He has promised he will be with you even in the valley of the shadow of death. And yes, when he is through with you, the text says, you will live, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, we've moved from the image, in a sense, of a sheep to a guest to a child. Because it is family that lives in the house forever. As I began to study the 23rd Psalm, and I never studied it before in any great detail, I became fascinated with the idea of the shepherd. And I came to discover that in the Exodus, Jehovah is compared to a shepherd leading his sheep through the wilderness. Of course, then I became very much aware of the fact that David, a shepherd boy, is also referenced a number of times in the imagery of a shepherd king. And then I moved to Ezekiel, where I discovered that there out in the future, God promised the nation of Israel that he would send his shepherd David to watch over and to be their leader. Then I discovered, interestingly, in Micah 5, 2 through 4, speaking of the prophecy that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, that's there in verse 2. If you go on and read verse 3 and verse 4, you'll discover that he will be what? A shepherd to his people. Of course, nothing is more precious than the Good Shepherd text of John 10. Or the shepherd that goes looking for that one lost sheep in Luke 15. But then I began to wonder, is it possible that the Lord traces this great theme all the way through the Bible? And sure enough, in Revelation chapter 7, there you have a vision of so great a vision that John says he could not count them. They're standing before the throne. They are in white robes, having washed them in the blood of the Lamb. And then listen very carefully to what the Word of God says in Revelation 7, 16 and 17. Speaking to the sheep, the Bible says, they neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them. And he will lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We need, everyone needs, a good shepherd. And the Word of God teaches us that this shepherd king will receive you. He will lead you. He will love you. And he will care for you all the days of your life. If you will simply confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus is my shepherd. In him I have everything that I need. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Some of you that have come here today have come to celebrate the graduation of a family member or a dear friend. And I am so glad that you came. You have honored us with your presence. And yet yesterday, as we were having graduation rehearsal, I asked our students, will any of you tomorrow have friends or family that will be here that are not Christian, that have They've never been saved. And a large number of hands went up. And so I told them that we would pray for you, that even though you came today to celebrate their graduation, we might be able to celebrate your salvation, because this is the day that you make the greatest and most important of all decisions, and that is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Good Shepherd. Now listen to me. He loves you. The Bible says He laid down His life as the Good Shepherd for you. And the Bible says all that come unto Him, He will receive. He'll cast not a single one away who comes to Him in faith and trust. And so today, in the next few moments, you may indeed make the most important decision you will ever make in all of your life. And that is trusting Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you are here today and you would say, Danny, I'm not a Christian, but what you've just read has spoken to my heart, and you're telling me He would be my shepherd in a heartbeat. He would receive me knowing who I am and what I've done without hesitation. You say, then what do I need to do? I'm going to voice a prayer. And I want to promise you this on the authority of God's word. If you will pray this prayer in your heart, God will hear your prayer. He will answer your prayer, and He will save you this day. You want to be saved today? Then just pray this prayer with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, I thank You that You laid down Your life and died on the cross for me. I acknowledge this day that I am a sinner. I have done things that are wrong. And I acknowledge that I have gone astray because of sin. But I thank You that You have taken care of my sin problem by Your death on the cross and Your glorious resurrection. This day, right now, I repent and turn from my sin. I put my faith and trust completely and totally in You. And beginning right now, I gladly claim You as my Lord, as my Savior, as my King and Good Shepherd. And I thank You for the promise of Your word that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And dear, precious Lord Jesus, Good Shepherd, I thank You so much that any single man, woman, boy, or girl praying that prayer this day, You have heard them, and You have answered, and You have saved. And I thank You, dear Lord, that they now are part of Your family. They are part of Your sheepfold, and they can leave this day with a joy and a song in their heart that indeed I have a relationship with the Good Shepherd who laid down His life just for me. Lord, help them to understand that You will provide their nourishment. You will give them rest. And Lord, You will give them guidance, leading them in paths that are right for the glory of Your name. I pray, dear Lord, that they might share this wonderful decision today with the graduate that they came to acknowledge and honor today. Because I know, as we said yesterday, nothing would bring more joy to our heart. All of these graduates would gladly leave their diploma at the table to see even one person today come into the family and the kingdom of God. I thank You for graduates like that. I know You're going to use them to turn this world upside down for Your glory. And so, Lord, thank You that we can look to You as our Good Shepherd. And thank You that indeed You are the chief, the good, the great shepherd of Your sheep. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.